I'm not sure what exactly we can put in here. We don't have much space.
Right now we're at 5.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I think the title of the paper says a case for software persistent memory, and I think that's the best we can do in this in these 5 pages. And we cannot really go through the details of various solutions that we have proposed, but we can say why. What is the motivation for software persistent memory? We can talk about the, you know, the 3 capabilities that it enables. We can talk about the.
So basically, you're outlining the whole proposal. I thought it was only going to be about recoverability.
No,
it's a whole
thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So. This community, the PDSW community,
mm-hmm.
has a lot of DOE folks, Department of Energy. And the main purpose for sending this out is to, I think I told you this before, is to try and get some feedback from that community and to also advertise this project to that community, which I think is one of the most important audience for this work.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so... so we want to sort of give a global picture of the project rather than something very specific such as recoverability, right? Although it's in, you know, currently our main focus, but this paper will sort of set the tone for substantial work going beyond the recoverability work.
So it's basically get some feedback.
Yeah, basically get some feedback. So now the tricky question is, how do we present this material, right? And I mean, we cannot claim that we have all the solutions because we don't. Right? So, so the way we write the paper has to be very sort of carefully thought, and what exactly we claim, and also at the same time contrast this approach with alternative approaches.
Mm-hmm.
So I did put in all the related works that we had in the proposal. Maybe we can add a couple more. There was one comment about the IBM early system that we could probably add it in here, that we got as part of the reviews of the proposal. I don't know if you saw the reviews of the proposal. I did forward it to you, right?
I'm not sure. Probably you did, but probably it was a long time ago.
Yeah, so there were some reviews that came back with the proposal. There was a summary and then there were 3 reviews.
Mm-hmm.
So there was in one of the reviews they talked about, well, you know, the IBM early OS actually supported this idea of persistent objects.
Okay.
And I don't think we have it in our related work yet. So we probably need to add that. So contrast it with, you know, application directed checkpointing and some other automatic checkpointing approaches, you know, system level checkpointing,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, how this is different.
I think if we have a small table,
mm-hmm.
that estimates the overhead of each of those that you mentioned and saying why this could be so beneficial, I think that would be important to add it here.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
That would be
probably as far as the motivation or...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, small table, yes, it's okay. The overhead is, the memory of the system is 4 gigabytes, the overhead is 4 gigabytes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for, let's say, system-level checkpointing. For application-level checkpointing, it may be about the same as this, probably smaller, but the overhead in terms of programming effort is substantially big.
Mm-hmm.
and all that. I mean, just a small table that summarizes that and say, okay, this is why we need it.
Yeah. So the question is, how do we get this table right? And can we use any existing solutions for contrast to get these numbers?
Okay, so look again at the related work.
No, I do agree that that would be good to have, if we can contrast against these alternate solutions in a quantitative fashion, because right now it's all qualitative, right?
Exactly.
So, in fact, in the table we could have two different sets of data, right? One set of data that talks about the overheads, and the other set of data that evaluates complexity, right? Programmer.
Yeah, exactly, those two.
Complexity. Mm-hmm. And maybe we can use something like lines of code and McCabe's cyclomatic complexity for doing
that. Yeah, but that would be very, very hard to calculate. I mean, within 5 days.
Yeah. I mean, maybe not for this version, but you would have a chance to revise it and improve it as well, right? So we could talk about that as well. So there is a section that I added in since the previous time, just preliminary results, right?
Yeah, so it's empty right now.
And what that section is about is just placeholder at this point where we can add some results. So the question is, what kind of results should we add in there?
I think we have. Yeah, I'm not sure. Because if we want to compare the. So what about just adding the results that we have from the, where we compared, like, the log versus, I mean, the all sequential versus the log, the LCW versus ours, and we have the three lines. I mean, just one graph, because due to space, there's not much that we can put in here. Probably in the presentation, we can just make a whole bunch of graphs, right, and talk about.
Yeah.
But not, I mean, here will be.
That's right, yeah. So,
and I guess
then we do need to talk about those, the optimization or the chunk remapper. I guess we will, as part of the. We do talk about it briefly in section 2.1.1. About the chunk remapper. So, let me go through this paper a little bit slowly. And I think we had to figure out the most important thing is the tone of the paper, which is what exactly we are claiming. So the motivation just goes and discusses the current solutions to recoverability, record, replay, and execution branching, and describes why these are. What are the commonalities between these three capabilities, and what applications have been doing so far, right? What are the current solutions and what are the limitations of these solutions? So that's in the third paragraph. So first paragraph is just an introduction. Second paragraph is the requirements of these capabilities. Third paragraph is the you know, what are the commonalities between these and the limitations of current solutions. The fourth paragraph is just a very high-level introduction to software persistent memory, right? What it aims to provide. Okay, in section two, so sort of we don't really talk about any of the techniques in the introduction at this point, and we can discuss whether we should do that or not. So introduction is sort of very high level. It doesn't go into any of the details of our solution. So section two then goes into this detail of just providing the high level idea,
mm-hmm.
I mean, how it works, in which is basically the container abstraction, right? And then details the architecture and the API. Right, so maybe we can split this up into two or three sections. That's a possibility. So we can have an overview section, and then we can have an architecture section and an API section. Right, instead of making them subsections. So in the section 2.1.1, we basically the figure one is the key message,
mm-hmm.
that we want to support all these three capabilities through a unified API, which is then supported by these two modules, Lima and SID,
mm-hmm.
right? And just talk very briefly about each of those subcomponents and discuss their roles and goals, like in the overall architecture. And then 2.1.2 is the API, which I guess we should move the table up ahead, to table one in the next page, and that's sort of the key message for that section. Is the API that we are proposing in the description of the various methods, right? Then, so the question is, what goes next? Is this level of detail sufficient, or do we want to go into more detail? So there was one thing which I was thinking about is to add a section on challenges. And talk about the various challenges that need to be addressed.
I think that would be very, very important.
Yeah, and then maybe we could have these preliminary results if we have space.
I think probably related work is a little big right now.
Yeah, it is quite detailed.
So probably we can take out a paragraph there.
You can compress that.
Yeah. Because the other things, I mean, seem very, very compressed, but probably that one is.
Yeah, so maybe we can have a section on challenges. And again, the challenges are all listed in the proposal, but then in the proposal we go through a lot of detail.
Yes.
As to how to address the challenges. So maybe in this paper we don't talk about how to address the challenges, right?
There's an outline.
So let's take the approach that we can add everything in without worrying about the page limit. And then we can figure out which parts to reduce and so on.
Okay.
So
what about if we do the part? We leave this to this subsection.
Well, right now they're subsections, right?
Yeah. So we could just make them
subsections. Yeah.
Yeah.
And make another section that is challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, challenges is very, very important. Not sure. So are the preliminary results essential?
Only if we can actually talk about, you know, if we have something reasonable.
Okay.
Otherwise, no. So this is a question mark at this
point. Yeah, because probably I think challenges would be more important than the results.
That's true, yeah. It's really not clear what these guys are looking for in a paper. I mean, in 5 pages, you cannot really say much, right?
Mm.
I mean, especially results. Cannot do much. And we certainly need to get rid of some references. Right now we have 30. We want to bring it
yeah,
down
definitely.
To
probably 20.
No, 15 or something.
Yeah. Okay, so replace preliminary results for challenges.
Yeah.
I think adding the table where it says the overhead of each technique in terms of both probably complexity of coding and in terms of memory would be important also.
In terms of time?
In terms of, yeah, time and... Well, let me see, not time. Yes, code complexity or coding complexity and in terms of... Let me see, the other one would be... Well, the overhead of the whole solution, right? So let's say if you're checkpointing the whole system memory, even if you're doing incremental checkpoints, it's going to have a big overhead, and there's going to be a whole bunch of stuff there that probably you don't want to checkpoint.
Mm.
Whereas if you just tailor your application to do a checkpoint of specific data, it could be a lot finer grain and then you would be checkpointing exactly what you want.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. The question I have is how do we get these numbers? Including the code complexity numbers. For instance, the system level checkpointing is probably less complex than our solution, right?
Yeah.
Because the programmer doesn't really have to do
that. That would be the less complex requirement.
Except to issue maybe synchronization requests, I mean checkpoints.
Mm-hmm.
Like say, okay, checkpoint here and then. Maybe you can start thinking about how to do that.
So what if we just don't, I mean, for the time being, don't put any numbers,
mm-hmm.
but just say like low, high, medium.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, that would actually be better than not having anything.
Yes, and because getting the numbers is probably very unrealistic right now.
Yeah. So, okay, so here's what I will request you to do then. I'll put you in charge of that table and the related work section.
Okay.
Okay, because you'll have to look through the related work anyway to
yes.
make the table and also the references. Okay, so
sure.
as you look through the related work, maybe you'll see that some references are not critical. Mm-hmm. And which references we can actually eliminate.
Okay.
How is that?
Mm-hmm.
And since you will be adding stuff to the motivation, I'll now you have the lock on the motivation
mm-hmm.
section also. In the meanwhile, what I'll do is I'll go ahead and add these challenges section.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, I won't really worry about space. I'll just worry about the content, right?
Sure.
And the same goes for you. And I will make these section 2 subsections and the subsections.
Okay.
So that's easy.
Okay, so we don't have conclusions either. Probably we don't need them, but just future work instead.
Yeah. Or summary.
Or summary, something like that.
So I think once we have the rest of the content, we can add the lab section. Summary and section. So try to reduce the number of references from 30 to at least 20 and hopefully 15, right, if we can. There are some critical references we just cannot remember.
Yes.
Right. There was also this, I'll also ask you to look at the reviews that I sent you. There is one reference about the IBM system.
Okay, I'll probably get that one in. We'll see how relevant it is.
Yeah. And that was actually pointed to by Gary Grider, who's on the, he's the main guy who's running the DOE research effort on high performance computing, and he also controls the Hecura program in a big way. So when I went to the workshop, he was the one who pointed out to me the about the IBM, I think IBM System 360 or something like that, which had this idea of persistent objects.
Okay.
So he said that they were also trying that before, and how was your work relevant
to that?
So this was the question that was raised during at the end of the presentation. So I basically said that I don't really know about the 360 work, but I think that there were lots of efforts at that time, and we are basically reviewing and reviving some of that effort because it has become relevant again. I think that the idea behind the IBM system was just to have native support for persistent objects in the OS.
Okay, so it's a similar idea.
Sort of similar, but I don't know exactly how the inter-object relationships work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, can you make persistent references and things like that? But it's somehow connected to this idea of orthogonal persistence. That reference 22 is what I'm looking at. Elliot Moss
version. The Swiss one. And yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and also 6 and 17. It's a persistent object management system. And the one by Barbara Lusco, that's the MIT stuff, which is the persistent object in Perl, which appeared in Sigmod 96. I think the IBM system was probably somewhat similar, and maybe these papers would have a reference to that IBM system as well. Right, so if you pull up this Thor paper, it would probably have a reference to the IBM work. I don't know if the IBM work appears as a paper or not, or if it is just product. Right. So that is also something that happens.
Well, probably if I still have access to the IBM internet, so probably could get.
Yeah, but this is way back, right? This is from the 70s.
Well, if it was published in a journal, then it's available. At least some overview.
Okay.
So we will do that, and probably.
So the deadline is.
Friday
or Thursday? September.
I think it's Friday. I think it's
18.
18? Okay. I think on 18. It's Friday. Yeah. It's Friday. 18.
Yeah, 18. 18. Let's try to get this done within the next 2 days so we can focus on other things.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think most of the work is already there. Yes. So, by the way, the boarding engagement grant was already expired, but there was another grant which I applied to was some other minority thing from different people. So I'm not sure when I'll get their reply.
So when you say it expired, what does that mean?
I mean,
they don't have that program.
The date passed.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, even if you...
Yes, a week before I got here.
Yeah, even if you don't get it, it's okay. But it's good to apply and try. I mean, if there is an opportunity, we can save our grant money for, you know, other trips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but anyways, if I go there, probably I'll just go the workshop days and one more day, something like that. Okay, so
all right, George.
So we're meeting this afternoon.
We'll meet at 2 o'clock if those guys